Soy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Oh yeah, this is power.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. Hi, I'm Trent, and it's great to have your company today for episode
81.
This week on Toy Power, we jump into our vintage toy line retrospectives, and this one is vintage as we tackle the 1970s product of Micronauts. We then jump into our new segment of What's on the Pegs, and if we got time, we might do a quiz. Joining me today in the Toy Power studio, we've got Darren.
Hello, one and all. Thank you for joining us.
Ben.
G'day, g'day.
And Frank.
Well, hoi, hoi.
And it's time now for some vintage nostalgia goodness with
Vintage Toy Line Retrospective.
You've got to come back to me.
Where does it get those wonderful toys?
Now you're an action figure.
G'day all. So this time we're doing a special shout out to Philip Doherty for asking about this toy line. I hope I do this toy line justice with my brief overview of this property's history. As none of us here actually actively collect this toy line, we have had to do some research. But before I talk about this, has anyone here in the room have actually seen, looked at, or even come across Micronauts in their travels? Toys, comics, otherwise, whatever.
I've seen them sort of referenced in some of the recent IDW stuff that they're doing with the Revolutions line. I guess I've heard the name, but I could have looked at them at some sort of a market and not known what it was, to be completely honest.
Cut, copy, paste, Frank. It's pretty much my experience. The Revolution pack they did as a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive via Hasbro, which is part of, I guess, taking what IDW are doing in the comics, saying here's Hasbro's toy licenses that they want to kind of turn into bigger products, maybe a movie franchise, you know, start it with a comic. That's the really kind of the linchpin to what I understand is seeing sort of those figures. But as far as the vintage stuff, I wouldn't really even know necessarily if it showed up in front of me what it looked like.
I'd be much the same as Frank and Trent. I don't know a heck of a lot about the property. I know it's a franchise that's constantly referenced as possibly being on the cusp of something, as Trent alluded to. It's a property that we know that's in Hasbro's portfolio that they'd like to do more with. And I'd be fascinated in seeing what that might be, whether it be a film franchise or cartoon or, you know, even more comics. I think that would be really interesting. But it came a little before my time, I guess.
Before your time? Wow.
Yeah, I know. It must be old. It must be old, mustn't it?
Charles McFall was a teenager when this came out, wasn't he?
He was too cool for toys when these came out.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, look, it was probably just a little before my time. Frank likes to make me feel really, really old, and he's really, really good at it. But
you're welcome.
Okay, so I personally was introduced to this property in the form of their Marvel comics, but that's something I'll touch on later. First, let's go into where it all began, the toys. So, the Micronauts toy line was based on and licensed from the Microman toy line created by Japanese-based toy company Takara. Back in 1974, Micronauts was a North American science fiction toy line manufactured and marketed by Mego from 1976 to 1980. In Japan, the Microman figures themselves were marketed as actually being 3.75 inches tall, cyborg entities that hailed from a fictional planet known as Micro Earth and disguised themselves as action figures while on Earth, which I just think is so freaking cool. How cool is that? Like, let's just unpack that for a second. You go to your toy store and you buy a action figure that is proposing itself as an action figure, and you take it home because that's it's one-to-one scale.
Yeah.
It's like mind blown. Like,
yeah, that is cool. I have to admit, as you were describing it, I'm thinking, this is pretty cool.
But
yeah.
But do they, like, come to life when you're not looking? Toy Story style?
No, not Toy Story style. Small Soldier style. All right, moving on. While much of the initial Micronaut toy line offerings were simply repackaged versions of the Takara Microman equivalents, some items in the Micronaut toy line were original Mego creations that used modified and reconfigured parts from existing Takara toys. For example, this larger 6.5-inch magnetic action figures, Baron Kaza and Force Commander, were recolorings of their Mio Kotkeski Jig action figures with newly redesigned heads. In addition, as the Micronaut line grew in popularity, Mego expanded the line by creating whole new figures from scratch, such as the Aliens line, which included Antron, Reptro, Mebros, Lobros, Kronos, and Centurius. So the Mego Micronauts toy line was known to be the 3.5 scale action figures such as Time Traveler, which were known for their high number of articulation points relative to the other toys of similar scale in the 1970s. The toy line also included vehicles, robots, playsets, and accessories. Many of the Micronauts toys used interchangeable 5mm connector points and ports that allowed parts to be transferred and connected between different toys. Most Micronauts toys are made up of half plastic, half die-cast. Some of the interchangeable parts had either pins or magnetics as connector points. The Micronaut toy line sold extremely well for Mego, which at one point, according to Mego's executive VP of marketing, it had generated more than $32 million in sales for the $110 million company during one period. Mego discontinued the Micronauts line in 1980, prior to the company's bankruptcy and dissolution in 1982. Years after Mego's demise, other toy companies such as Palisades Toys and Sorter Toys have attempted to revive the toy line over the years. So now I'm going to touch on one of my personal favourite Micronauts toys, just to give our listeners who might be a little unfamiliar about this toy line. The figure I'm going to shine the limelight on is none other than Baron Kaza. So Baron Kaza was released in 1977. He was the chief villain of the Micronauts and a dread knight clad in black with red highlights. He stood 8 inches tall, towering over the average 3 3/4 Micronauts. To describe Baron Kaza's face, best imagine Darth Vader and Doctor Doom mashed into one helmet, and that is what Baron Kaza's fierce head kind of resembles. As stated before, Baron Kaza is all black that came in a small box packaging without any windows. He was protected by foam and included extra accessories inside such as missiles and fists. His body fired a small hard-tipped red plastic missile. His fists also fired as projectiles, and he wore a jet pack with two formidable-looking red spears on top. Most importantly, his head, arms and legs were held to his body by magnets, allowing unusual articulation and recombination possibilities. Most notably, he could combine with his steed Andromeda to become a centaur. How freaking cool. Awesome. Like, how light years ahead of this line was this?
Because we're talking, like early, like late 70s, early 80s, and that sort of use of magnets in a toy is genius.
Yeah, and it was the combination between him and his horse. Flawless, like the seamless, it's beautiful. So he also could be combined with his nemesis, the Force Commander, who was released that same year, as they both used the same sculpts and thus parts shared really, really well. So Force Commander was all white, and obviously, as I said before, Baron Kaza is all black. So yeah, you've got the yin and the yang right there of the good and the bad. Okay, now over to the property that I'm more familiar with, Micronauts, the comics. They came from inner space was their headline. The Micronauts originate in the Microverse, a microscopic universe full of strange planets like the human-inhabited homeworld, which is made up of a diverse spherical habitats that are linked together in the fashion of a molecular chain. The original team comes together in response to the threat posed by former bearded and balding academic turned murderous immortal black armored dictator Baron Kaza, who gained control of Homeworld through a creation of the body banks, where life extending brain transplants are performed on the rich and inhuman generic alterations on the poor.
Oh, harsh.
Brutal.
Paint you a picture.
Class systems are alive and well, sadly.
Okay, Commander Acturius Ran returned from a 1,000-year deep space voyage in suspended animation with Biotron, his robot co-pilot, on the HMS Homeworld microchip Endeavour to discover Kaza has slain the royal family, descendants of Ran's parents, Dallin and Sepsis, who are now worshipped as virtual gods. What follows is an epic war across the microverse, pitting Ran and his allies against Kaza. In addition to Biotron, Ran's team of Micronauts includes Princess Mari of Homeworld, who with her brother Prince Agron are the only survivors of the slaughtered royal family of Homeworld. Known to the team as Marionette, she falls in love with Ran and leads the team on occasion. The alien gladiators, Akrayu, which is one of my favourites, good guys, and Bug also join Ran's cause, and although completely different, one a notable armor-clad warrior prince and the other a wisecracking insectoid thief. The two become best friends and staunch allies of all Micronauts. The last member of the original team is Microtron, Mari's robot tutor. Although small, Microtron is a very resourceful, sort of RTD2 style character, and a very supportive of all team members. Now onto the facts. So the Micronauts began life in their comic book form in 1977. Marvel Comics writer Bill Mantlo's son opened a new present, a line of the Migos Corporation Micronauts action figures. Seeing the toys, Mantlo was instantly struck by inspiration to write their adventures. Convincing then-editor-in-chief Jim Shooter to get the comics license for these toys, Mantlo was hired to script the series. The first series of Micronauts ran from January 1979 to August 1984 and included 59 issues and two annuals. The series was written by Bill Mantlo and featured art by Michael Golden predominantly. Aside from a wide range of various Marvel characters, including Fantastic Four, Man-Thing, Doctor Doom, and a few others guesting in the series, the ultimate crossover event occurred in the X-Men and the Micronauts 4-issue limited series in 1984 and was co-written by Mantlo and Chris Claremont and drawn by Butch Geiss. The second volume of Micronauts submitted, The New Voyages, was published from October 1984 to 1986 and ran for 20 issues. After this series, the Marvel-owned license lapsed. From the late 90s, the characters Marionette, Artius, Ran, and Bug, all Marvel properties, have appeared in various Marvel titles without referencing the Micronauts label. Bug has appeared in a solo one-shot and together with cosmic hero Star-Lord as part of the new incarnation of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Image Comics. So in June 2002, a new series of Image Comics was begun, which was published for 11 issues before its cancellation in September 2003. The same year saw a 4-issue limited series featuring Baron Kaz's origin and the relationship with the Time Traveler entity. And with this Image Comics, I've just got to shout out, the art had just, it's in that new age art and computer graphics. It is outstanding, like poster worthy on your wall artwork of some of the covers and things, just sensational. Okay, Devil's Due Publishing picked it up then. In March 2004, a new series was launched by Devil's Due Publishing, mixing new characters with those based on the toy line. This series ran for a mere 3 issues. More issues were solicited but never appeared on shelves, despite some cover art being released. IDW in 2015 at New York Comic Con, IDW Publishing announced that it had required publishing rights from Hasbro to produce new comic books for Micronauts. IDW released the first issue of their new Micronauts series in April 2016 with scripts by Cullen Bunn and art by David Balidou. So just a small kind of off-the-beaten-track segue into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, to put all this Microverse and everything into perspective and give everyone a better understanding of the Micronauts homeworld, the Microverse, it actually makes a featured appearance in the film Ant-Man 2015. The Dimension appears in a scene in which Scott Lang, Ant-Man, goes subatomic in order to defeat the villain Darren Cross Yellowjacket. The Realm appeared again in Ant-Man and the Wasp in 2018 as Hank Pym attempts to find his wife again. While we did not see the Micronauts in this film, nor were they referenced to, it gives everyone a clearer understanding of where those characters come from and possibly how a storyline might come out in the future.
Was it not called the Quantum Realm instead of the Micronauts? I understand, and I believe the bit of knowledge I have about that is that in terms of the comics and stuff, the actual word Microverse did belong to or was used in the comics, and then when it came to the film, though, they had to change it. referred to as the Quantum Realm.
Yep. I think that's from my source I was getting the information from. I think that's sort of trying to get the overall larger, broader audience an idea of if the Micronauts came from anywhere, this is where they'd come
right,
from.
And that
Marvel Cinematic Universe is a perfect indication, right? If they're going to come onto the action figures as one-to-one in the toy aisles, this is the universe they came from before they got to us in the in that scale.
Cool.
So yeah, so I've been a big fan of the Marvel series. I've got all the comics and collected all the other reiterations from Image and Devil's Due and things. I've sort of stopped collecting comics nowadays, so I haven't read those Revolution comics from IDW. But, you know, anything Micronauts is really cool. I do remember seeing the Palisades toys when they were on pegs back in the early to mid-2000s, and they were a beautiful reproduction of the original toys, including Acroyear and Baron Kaza and Force Commander and things. But I kicked myself today that I didn't pick them up. I haven't looked online to see how much the reproduction ones are, but I can tell you right now the original ones go for a bomb because all those parts that I described before, arms, legs, heads, missiles, they all come off and separate. So you're essentially collecting a toy with, you know, say 20 little parts, and every part makes it that much harder to find and makes the price go up that much more higher if it is complete. So as for locally, I've seen one at the Mega Toy Fair, and a guy you know, could see I was pretty knowledgeable at toys one year when I was selling there, and he said, "Do you know what this toy is?" And I was pretty quick. I think that's Micronauts toys, you know, one of the larger ones. And you know, he then asked, "What do you know?
How much
and things?" I said, "Nah, don't ask me that, man. I've ID'd it. That's about as my depth of knowledge, right there." So yeah. So any other questions? Anyone? Or
I think it's really interesting that this was, as we sort of alluded to earlier, it was so far ahead of its time at a time when, you know, what are we talking, early 80s, so it's pre-Transformers, and you know, a build-a-figure concept at that, the, you know, the 3.5 or 3.75-inch scale, like, it's, and using magnets and die-cast and all those sorts of things, you sort of sit there and go, how has this not been rebooted in the modern era? And I guess it looks like they're trying to with the comics. You mentioned at the start, Ben, that you said Sota Toys did some. Was that in like a 6-inch
scale? That was sort of scale, I might have been, yes, could be. I don't recall the sort of waves, but I definitely remember Palisades doing it, because it was right around the time I was collecting my Alien and Predator statues. It was when the Muppets toys were on shelf, readily available. You know, you could essentially, I could walk into Collectible Chaos right now, and there'd be a sort of Palisades area with all the items being released by now defunct Palisades toy company, and Micronauts was one of them. And I distinctively remember holding, I think it might have been Force Commander with the you know, the horse and everything. You could combine it, and thinking, man, this would be pretty cool, but just not, you know, jumping at the price that they'd had it at. And then years later, you know, you had that one opportunity to pick it up right there and then, and then, you know, a couple of years later it's gone, and you never heard of again, so to speak.
You mentioned also about figures, the vehicles, because we're talking that 3¾-inch scale. Was there, were we talking spaceships?
Yeah, or you name it, anything space related. It was, it was one of those toy lines where it sort of predates Transformers, so they weren't to that extent where one toy could transform into another. Their transformations were, you take the arm off and you connect it to another character, so that was their sort of transformation. And in a segue to the transformation, like, remember how some of the Dinobots and the Insecticons and Optimus Prime, they came with little micro-men characters that would sit in the in the character. That's sort of where micro-men, the divisions that micro-men were going in. So they had the line, from my understanding, they had the line that would transform, that was starting to transform, and they had this line that was, you know, take apart and connect, and that's where the Micronauts line spawned from, from the Microman, that, that subline. You from what I've seen from the Micronauts 70s toy line, there's everything from train sets, futuristic train sets, of course. I yelled out some aliens and things, so it's, there was nothing left off the table that couldn't have been, you know, composed into this toy line, as long as it had that sort of connect and you know, swap feature, whether it was a peg, a magnet, whatever. And it was, I think it was one of those toy lines where throw you know, mud at the wall, see what it sticks, and let's make it, let's, you know, make it out into plastic and try and sell it.
It makes for some of the best toy lines that are
Definitely. You know, I can't help but going back and, you know, going back and doing some research, this line was just so ahead of its time for outlooks on future, futuristic designs and things like that. You know, like this, the Centaur of Baron Kaza is just outstanding, and you know, with the creators, artwork creators of today have just made him look insane. You know, to imagine a Micronauts Classics line, you know, with that connect and collect feature, like in a 6-inch scale, it'd just be insane. I dare say Baron Kaza would be pushing the 10-inch line, or probably 12 to that extent.
So is this the origin of the Builder figure?
I wouldn't say Builder figure. I'd just say connect. The connectable, like
those mashup figures almost.
Pretty much, exactly right. Yeah,
That style.
Imagine that, and that, put this into actual cool toys, and yeah, that's what you got out of Micronauts, and that was heavily advertised on the pack. You know, you can buy a Baron Kaza, but look what you can make out of a Baron Kaza and another, you know, character or whatever.
Is it fair to say the people that worked on the Double Dragon movie weren't the ones predicting the future in terms of the aesthetic and designs on this?
Oh, it's hard to say, man. It's hard to say. Yeah. I don't want to step
would be
on
Trent's favorite film of all time, wouldn't it?
I don't want to step on Davey's podcast territory. That's Dave's Video Graveyard. If for anyone listening, check him out, and he does an amazing analysis on the Double Dragon film, and I certainly don't want to go down that route.
No, we can't do it justice, but to just give you the link to the podcast itself. But that is one of the things he's always impressed by, is basically how wrong people got, you know, when they were trying to, sitting there in the 1980s or 1990s, trying to envisage what the future might look like, even a couple of years ahead sometimes, and how wrong they got it. So that's fantastic. All right. Awesome. Thanks, Ben, for taking us through Micronauts.
And special shout out again. Thanks, Philip Doherty, for you know, taking the time out and requesting this, because it was something that I'd hoped to maybe one day cover, because I am a big fan of the comics, and it just got me looking into the toy line that much deeper than I'd ever really have. And I can honestly say, after doing this research, I really, really want a Baron Kaza figure in that.
It's the danger of doing a podcast on toys. Oh, you fall in love with things that you never thought you could fall in love with, you just didn't know about.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Philip.
Thank you.
Cool. On that note, we will head on to the next segment, which is where we take a look at what's on the pegs, what's happening in the toy stores locally. And we'd love to hear from you to sort of get a flavor for what's happening internationally as well. So a bit of light that we might be able to shed on some of the experiences from some of our fans that they've shared with us as well in this segment. I'll start us off because I've had some pretty exciting finds on toy shelves, and there's also been some pretty notable omissions from what we're not seeing here in Australia as well. The first one I did want to shout out was Lego. Lego have dropped all their new sets, and the big one that I was probably the most excited about was it seems to be a single set, but there is a new set for the Aquaman film, which is a set featuring Aquaman, Mira, and Black Manta, as well as the Manta sub and a shark. Unfortunately, the shark wasn't fitted with copious amounts of lasers and heavy artillery, but
so Dr. Evil won't be buying it.
No, unfortunately, it was just a regular shark piece, but that was a really nice set, about $50 AUD on that one. Also in Lego, the really exciting stuff is they seem to be refreshing Harry Potter in a big way. I know we're going to get a new Fantastic Beasts film. The Crimes of Grindelwald is coming to cinemas shortly. So Harry Potter, you're getting some sort of new sets based on that, but they're also going back and refreshing or redoing some of the older sets as well. You can get Hogwarts castles. There's two different sets that make up part of the Hogwarts sort of grand castle. There's the blue car that gets stuck in the Whomping Willow, and Hogwarts Express, they've done a new version of that, complete with the secret hidden train station as well, which is really nice. There is another set which I don't think has hit shelves, but it is in micro scale.
Oh, okay.
And it is the full replica of the Hogwarts castle.
Wow.
Done in, I guess, you know, not minifigure scale, but yeah, a size smaller. So that is sort of coffee table material. So very impressive stuff happening on the Lego front. One thing I do want to shout out, which we may have alluded to in some of our previous podcasts, but Marvel Legends has been showing up at Kmart stores. Interestingly, older waves. So right now we've had the Giant Man Build-A-Figure wave,
yep,
and the Hulkbuster wave seem to have been showing up at my local Kmart. We talked a bit with Sean Fuster about the price point, but I'm seeing these consistently at $25 AUD. Yeah.
And just to unpack that, so you've called out the Ant-Man wave and you've called out the Hulkbuster, but aren't the same figures in both? So
it's a little bit confusing, yeah, because in Australia and I believe the UK, we got some waves that weren't as they would be packaged internationally. So it was the same figure but with a different Build-A-Figure piece in it. So to find, you know, we've got it's tagged as the Civil War line, so we're talking sort of 2016 now, and you would have had, you know, your Captain America, your Black Panther, your Scarlet Witch. And these figures in the US came with Build-A-Figures for, I think it was the Hulkbuster. Whereas here in Australia, same figure, same accessories, but the Build-A-Figure is the giant version of Ant-Man kind of thing. So it can get confusing when you're trying to do the research on what figure do I need to buy to complete whatever sort of Build-A-Figure. And yeah, these have just shown up in the last, you know, probably month or two. And at $25 a pop, they've been, you know, these figures are quite literally, you know, coming up to 3 years old, and they've just come out of storage somewhere. And at $25 a pop, I can attribute they're very hard to resist. So
yeah, very, very
Frank hard. Need not resist any longer. I believe he has the entire wave.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in later scores, I think. But yes.
I noticed the Marvel Legends on the more recent Marvel Legends stock, the Ant-Man and the Wasp wave, did show up at a specialty collector store here in Australia. Like, I haven't seen
$40 or whatever.
$40, yeah. New figures. Yeah. So I haven't seen them show up at broader retail, but they're starting to dribble out.
Mm.
And Transformers is pretty exciting as well. There's been some new Transformers that price point.
Power of the Primes, yeah.
There's Cyberforce or something, yeah, is it?
The one I'm thinking of, there is the Cyberforce, so they're in a totally new style. Do you know the name?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Sorry, I was just putting my hand up for something else. Sorry.
But they're looking cool. The price point to me on these looked a little high.
Mm.
They're sort of at Kmart. They were sitting at about the $40 price point. But some pretty cool designs.
This is the pair of, like, the Voyager sort of style. Yeah.
Cyberverse, that's correct.
Cyberverse.
Oh,
Cyberverse.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It is, yeah, Cyberverse. Is. But, and I have to call out, I looked at Shockwave. Shockwave, and yeah. these characters are all in their robot form, so that's pretty cool. And I picked up Shockwave. I'm like, oh, that's a nice looking Shockwave for a cheaper price point. Turned it around to have a look at the transformation. It is horrid. It is, it's like a turtle. It's like a shell, and he transforms into four legs sitting down, and that's it. Like, it is just, what is that? Like,
it's an action figure is what it is. But they do, like, the Starscream and the Shockwave look really good in robot mode.
Yeah, right.
The Optimus Prime, I looked at him and go, because I'm like, oh, wonder what this figure is behind here, and kind of saw the Optimus Prime, went, ugh, like,
McDonald's toy.
Yeah, it looked, and it was $40. It just, it looked terrible. But yeah, to your point, Starscream Shockwave looked really, really nice in robot mode.
Mm. I was just going to say, on the Kmart note, I've noticed the Batman Missions figures are turning up from Mattel. I don't know if anyone else has.
Is that those the ones with the beautiful black packaging and the big yellow and black emblem?
Yes.
Yeah, no idea. I have not seen them.
Yeah, yeah. Flip over the back of those cards, they take me back to the cross-sell art from, and the drawings from our childhood from on things like Masters of the Universe and even the little Bios and Turtles, because they've got a little scene, a little battle scene.
Little you've
got
clip and collect.
Not quite that, but you've got Batman, Joker and Robin Quinn on one.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And you've got Batman, Harley and Batgirl on the other, and it just sort of takes you back to a nice little battle scene.
Hmm.
So far I've seen two versions of Batman, Robin, Joker and Harley in my travels. Yeah. I probably wasn't necessarily enamored with the Joker, although I did like the fact that he's got almost a Toy Biz style hat, which was a nice
little It's a bit of a Killing Joke style.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if it looks quite as cool as Killing Joke.
No, at that more basic version.
Yeah,
have you seen?
Very cool to see them pumping out figures and pumping them out at kids.
Have you seen Batgirl yet?
No,
neither have I.
No.
Interesting.
I was wondering if she was out.
No, I've seen her in the 10-inch one with a more basic slimline box, window box.
Okay.
They've got a nice articulation legs, so you can bow them out to do the split style, like, so that sort of articulation, but they're very basic, you know, same like the Usagi and Turtles and things in that really basic thing style, but at least they've got that better articulation for the legs instead of just that standard five points of articulation. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It could be a cool little line, I reckon.
They're cool. They're $19. I saw a post of someone that walked in and said, you know, a figure that I probably didn't need, but I bought anyway.
Mm.
It sort of felt like, as an adult collector where we're spoiled for choice on Batman.
Absolutely.
This is something clearly targeted at kids, right? So, but, you know, will appeal.
I think that's great, though.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you.
They are the future of the property.
I agree with you. That's right. It's good to have product out there for them. But that's sort of the sentiment this collector was saying. Something, I probably don't need these figures, but they're on the shelves and I pick them up.
And the packaging is really eye-catching. It's a really nice homage to the older collectors like us.
Absolutely, and that was the point I made.
The other thing I wanted to shout out is, the reason I said Killing Joke Joker is because it comes with a camera. He comes with a camera thing, nice. So as an
accessory.
He's
sort of got a Hawaiian shirt or something.
Yeah.
Because there's two versions. There's the one probably Darren was thinking of with the hat and the purple trench coat, and it's a very modern look to the style of his clothes, and he's quite muscular, this version of the Joker. He sort of looks quite tough. It's not that classic look, but the other figures do have a bit of a classic look to
them.
They
do, and as Ben made the point, I think the packaging makes these. It's very eye-catching.
$19 Australian for anyone interested.
Mm. Yeah, you've shouted it all out. But here, I just need to reiterate the Jurassic World figures. We're starting to see Wave 2, which has got the Ankylosaurus, I believe that. Yeah, so I picked that one up for my daughter. A Pterodon, which is pretty cool, recolored one of, sort of a largest.
It's the larger version.
Yes.
It's not the $9 version. It's the $22.
Yeah, so that was really cool to pick up for my other daughter. That's the ones I chose. And the third one is a recolor.
Yeah, Cantrosaurus with the horn. It's like a red.
Yes, that's right.
Dinosaur.
Yeah, so yeah.
And there might have been, I think that wave also has a Triceratops in there. I couldn't tell any difference. It might have just been a straight refresh.
No, I think
it was.
I think that's a
just a
sort of repack. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I've seen it, other than the other things that everyone's called out. So
that's it. All right, that's pretty much anything that we sort of haven't seen, or I was sort of, in terms of the Marvel Legends, they're just sort of slow to show up. I know there's been, I don't know if you'd call it a bit of stock that's hung around, sometimes on the DC Universe Classics or the Multiverse line, sometimes a little bit on Marvel Legends to some extent. I'm just wondering if some retailers might be a bit nervous in terms of picking up some of these new waves. So I'm not sure if that's the case yet.
Oh, and yeah, sorry, the one other thing on Lego, I've seen obviously the Lego 2 movie's coming out soon, and I believe it's going to feature a lot of Unikitty. So I've seen a lot of Unikitty specialty packs where Unikitty essentially has his own universe. He's even got blind bags of Unikitty, and you can buy a blind bag Uni dog and things. You can buy Sick Kitty, Angry Kitty. There's like Turbo Ape Shit, you know, Kitty. Like it's
I saw like a Mario Kart style set today.
Yes,
like a, it looked just like Mario Kart, and they were racing in these cars.
That's cool.
Was it is Ape Shit Kitty the official name?
No. That's the
copyrighted back to Lego.
Lego after Deadpool, they just said, no, we can't produce anything else, you know, to that degree. No. So that was just my own spin on things. I think, you know, obviously that's a learning curve for Lego. They're like, oh my gosh, look what's been so super popular after the first film, and we can't really go out and release 100 different Unikitty sets because the movie's now pretty much you know, going to be on DVD by the time we get these sets to retailers. So let's get the ball rolling for the next movie and release some pre-movie drop.
Clever.
And build the hype for the next one, because I know for one, my girls, when they saw that in the sort of more kids-friendly section of the Lego department, because now Lego has two aisles in just about every store, and it's subdivided into, you know, different categories. They're that big. That's how we discovered it, and I think, you know, good on them.
Very clever.
As far as things go, Trent, as you were talking to before about things that are not coming out here, obviously DC Comics Multiverse is something that we don't see a lot of. We were seeing a bit of it last year, but not so much this year, and we're still seeing a lot of Star Wars Black Series being skipped. So I mean, they're the main two things that I guess I'd say I'd like to see more of.
Local retail, we haven't got the Clayface Build-A-Figure wave yet in Multiverse, which is disappointing because that is a strong wave. It's got Batwoman in there as well.
It's a sensational wave. Two-Face.
Very, very strong. And I think you're right, definitely on Black Series, it is hit and miss, unfortunately. Specialty collector retailers will stock a lot of that stuff. You do have to be quick, and you are paying $40 AED a figure.
And of course, our Turtles section of the toy aisle is getting smaller and smaller.
Pretty much gone, but is to be expected.
Of course, in wake of the new one that's going to come out soon.
Just on that, interestingly, it's not going to be too far off getting new figures for that. Obviously, San Diego Comic-Con had the exclusive versions of the four Turtles, and we have seen packaging samples of what they will look like. Who here in the room... One, can we quickly talk about the cartoon? Because I know we've all seen it. I think Nickelodeon did put up the first episode free to watch on YouTube, and I tuned into that. We'll go around the room and talk to that, maybe if anyone's seen it. Who here, though, is going to collect the new Ninja Turtles line? At least dive in on wave one.
It would depend entirely on price, is my answer to that.
In the sense that they're $15 to $20.
Yeah, $15 to $20. It would depend on what else, I guess, is coming out at the time. Nothing else at the time. It's still hard.
Make a decision, Darren. Yeah, come on.
It's still hard to be definitive on this. I'm probably closer to no than yes at this stage. I'm just not completely sold on it as a... Yeah, for me. Yep. But that's not to criticise anyone who's into it or thinks they're great. I want people to enjoy their properties and enjoy the turtles,
Darren told me I can't enjoy it, so
Darren on Toy Power said he doesn't like it, so therefore I don't like it.
Don't like is a very strong word, especially when you're talking about the turtles. But yeah, look, at this point I'd probably rather divert my money to NECA's turtles stuff. For me, that's probably close to
so
my
you're
heart.
One of those diverters, are you? Away
yeah,
from
am,
the
yeah.
licensed properties.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought they didn't exist.
sorry, playmates. But yeah, no, look, that's probably where I'm at. I'd really like to finish the Nickelodeon line strongly. Though. There's a few little gaps that I'd like to round out and just sort of bring that line home for me. But yeah, at this stage, I'm probably not in. It's not definite, but probably
not. No, we're not going to hold you to that.
All right, moving around the room, I have zero interest in it. Like, I am the one collector in the room that didn't collect the Nickelodeon line, and that's not because I didn't like it. It just, I'm more of a vintage collector, and I just, it was easy for me to pass. I did cherry pick a couple of figures. I picked up of Shredder, of course, and there was a six-pack, I believe, a six-pack gift pack I picked up at retail that I had all four Turtles, Shredder, and an Utrom in a beautiful window package. I thought that looked really cool.
Kmart exclusive.
And, like $50 or $40 maybe on 20% off or whatever. So I picked that up without blinking too much of an eye. I think it was on special because that's what broke my decision. So I got that. And much later in the line, I picked up a Usagi, which was just fantastic. So for me, for this new line, zero interest. I will be excited when I first do see them on the shelves because I'll, you know, send out the what they call a tweet, but I don't use Twitter.
Instagram.
Yeah. So I'll shoot
renaming social media one by one.
I'll shoot out the word to the boys. I'll shoot out the word to the fellow turtle collectors. Just and you know, be that guy that helps other people out. And you know, if anyone else does want them, I'll be ready to fill up a basket with whatever characters they want. But the big thing for me. No Shredder.
It's interesting, isn't it?
If a Shredder was coming out and he looked semi-cool and he was a $15 price tag per se, I wouldn't hesitate on buying one. But there's no Shredder, so therefore I probably will skip the entire first wave without even blinking an eye. As for the cartoon, boring, rubbish. I did not held my interest whatsoever. And just on that, I haven't even seen the whole Nickelodeon series. That's not to say that was bad. It's just my, you know, time and, you know, efforts to watch modern cartoons these days isn't what it used to be. So I sort of lag behind in modern day cartoons and watch the more adult orientated Arrowverse and Marvel Universe things instead. And that's just my preference for watching TV these days.
So it's funny, I was actually looking at all my Turtle stuff just today and just going, oh, I could move this here and shuffle things around. And then I naturally try and pre-plan for these things, particularly when there's a big reboot on the cards. And I look at it and go, oh, so there's this new Rise of the Ninja Turtles. This is the point where I decide if I'm in or out. I've seen enough of the figures to know, I've seen enough of the show to know if I like it or not. And the answer is just no. And a bit to Ben's point, I'll see it and you know, maybe just hold one in my hands and sort of have a look at it. Unless it's an incredible price point, I don't. And
that'll be a Leo that you hold.
Well, exactly right. And in my brain, I'm just going, do you know what? I'll just get the four Turtles. But we all know that's how it all starts, you know, because then you go, but then I've got to get Splinter to go with, and then there's April, and then
you mean the hamster,
yeah,
the hamster and Irma.
Oh Jesus. Look, at this stage, if I had to make a decision, I'm going to say no. That largely comes on the back of the cartoon. Nickelodeon have released the first one, as we said, on YouTube. I have been able to find the next four episodes. And no spoilers, because there's not much to spoil, just quietly. It's, look, not for me. It's all very... high fives and cowabunga, and there's just no story to it. Is probably my big gripe with it. The other thing,
all bright colours and no substance.
All sizzle and no substance. Absolutely, is the best way to put it. And probably the big thing I'll say that lends itself to that is they've gone for a format of 10 to 11 minute episodes, which is not uncommon in today's animation. The Justice League action is in that same sort of format. But how much character depth and world building can you do in an 11-minute animation? Like, it's just no. I I'm a fan of, and of some of the voice actors they've chosen. I think they've done it really well there. But I just go, nope, it's not aimed at us at all. Whereas, you know, the Nickelodeon 2012 stuff, obviously aimed at kids, but there was enough substance in it that long-term fans could go, ah, that's a shout-out to this. I see what you did there. You've reinvented this character. You've done well this. And to Ben's point, no Shredder. Nah. And a hamster for a sensei. Nah.
The journey for me was I saw the original designs and I said, nope, nah, nope, not getting this. Then I saw the toys and I thought, not bad, not bad. Like, it's not my cup of, not my first choice, but the toys actually quite nice interpretations in 3D of the 2D designs, which I don't really like. Then I saw the packaging and I'm like, ooh, being mint on card collector. Mm. I thought the packaging's very nice. It's bright, you know, and it's to you guys what you said, that moment when you first see them on the shelves, there's going to be you're going to be sort of swept up in this emotion.
Correct.
And you're going to put it like, I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to put them in my basket. I know it. I'm going to put them in a basket and I'm going to think about it. Then I saw the cartoon and I went, nope.
Out again.
I made it maybe through 7, 8, 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And I turned it off. It was that, I knew. It's not for me. It's fine. I understand that. And that is a big deal. I know you mentioned it, Frank. If the cartoon had been something where I'd gone, that's fine. I'm enjoying that. It's cool. I like it. That might have pushed me over the edge. But for me, I'm probably out at this stage.
And I have to confess, I'm probably the only one in the room. I haven't watched the cartoon at all yet. I thought I'd let dust settle because I've heard all the critiquing of it, and that's fine. Sometimes I find it's better to just let the dust settle after hearing that rather than looking at something straight away because you're already feeling quite resistant and negative to it before. So I'll let the dust settle and I'll take a look at the cartoon. But yeah, at this stage, from what I've seen, the card art, as Trent said, is the strongest part of this so far for me.
All right, on that note, we'll go into the quiz.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Time to start thinking, because the Quizmaster's back.
All right, you going to do a quiz out of your head, Frank?
I'm not that good.
Nah.
That
spot is a special
that
spot.
That is taken. Yeah. All right, so what I've decided to go with is something that we see in a whole lot of our favourite properties, and that is acronyms. Who doesn't love a good acronym? So, as an example, if you're not sure what the word acronym is, and we've mentioned this one a couple of times on the show, Trent, can you tell us what the word MASC stands for?
Mobile Armoured Strike Command, spelt with a K.
Very good. So, this is what we're going to be quizzed on. So, stuff from all around some of our favourite properties. We're going to start off with a couple of easy ones to get you guys into it. Ben, can you tell us what the word muscle stands for? M-U-S-C-L-E.
Can I phone a friend, Sean Fuster? Just get him on the line for a second. All right, I'll have a shot at it. Millions, unusual, scary, scaly, sought after, I don't know. No, I don't know.
Packed.
Short. Millions.
Of unusual.
Of unusual. Unusual, yeah. Short. L.
C.
C.
M-U-S-C.
Critters. Critters. Creatures. Creatures.
Creatures.
Everywhere. L.
You need an L.
L, I'm just skipping. L. This is an acronym of an acronym. Lurking
yes.
everywhere.
Yay! Yay! Very good.
Well done.
Millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere. Yeah. Well done. All right, Trent. It was a computer that fought in Batman in the classic animated series known as HARDAC. H-A-R-D-A-C.
Yep.
Can you tell us what that stands for? Don't you Google that.
I wasn't going to Google it. I've got my show notes open here. We don't even have internet on this thing. But I did write down the acronym in previous show notes.
I was going to say, that's why these are the intro ones.
I can't remember. I didn't know it at the time. I had to actually look it up, and I can't recall it.
It is holographic. Oh, sorry. Anybody else? Darren?
No, I'm not going to take it.
No. Holographic Analytical Reciprocating Digital, as in using the A in digital, computer.
My God, these are the easy ones. Warm up on these.
And I thought muscle was hard.
You're killing us, Frank.
All right, well, here we go, Darren. And this one we have mentioned on the show before. We've had Mask as our example at the top. Their evil counterparts in Venom. Can you tell us what the letters in Venom stand for? V-E-N-O-M.
Vicious, evil...
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah,
you've got those two, yeah.
Yeah, vicious, evil, narcissistic.
That's enough describing words.
Nuclear?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. No.
What do you get when you get a whole bunch of computers that talk to each other? What do they talk?
Network.
There you go.
Organisation?
No, much smaller word.
It's a joining word.
It's a network
of.
Yep. Last one, M.
Mercenaries.
Oh, close. Very close.
Think Maxwell Smart. Is it Maxwell Smart? No.
Is it? Where did you get that from? What are they
called? Mad. Yeah.
What's
Chaos?
That's
what I said.
The lead bad guy, what's his surname? In Mask.
Didn't know. I bought the DVD set. I don't know, but I can't.
Miles.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Yes.
It's actually painful when you know the answer.
Yeah.
So string that together, we've got vicious evil network of mayhem. All right. Whew, and those were the easy ones. All right, Ben. We're gonna switch over to the Marvel Universe now.
Teenage Mutants Ninja Turtles.
And Masters of the
Universe. Yeah.
Motu. Yeah. All right. Heading over to Marvel. It's where Nick Fury, Maria Hill, and Phil Coulson call home. Shield.
Shield.
It was mentioned in Iron Man.
I know.
Yep.
Made a joke of.
Yeah.
It's like retrofitting the actor.
No, I've got no idea.
I know some of it.
Somebody else want to take a stab? Darren?
Strategic Homeland.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Anyone else? Intelligence?
No.
Is it
invasion? Is the I for invasion?
It's close. It's in terms of...
Incursion?
Where you can, when someone's an alcoholic, you have a...
Intervention.
That's it. So we're at the E.
What comes up for intervention?
Defense or something?
Did you say employment?
Yeah, what comes up to intervention employment.
Intervention employment.
It does in social work.
No.
League defence for the end, for the last ones?
No.
Put us
done? I'm done. I got as far as...
Yeah, you got the first half down. So, Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Oh, the logistics!
Yeah.
That's right.
That's cool.
And I think even the joke in the very first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is... You know, they say, what does, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. mean to you? And the character goes, I think somebody really wanted their initials to spell S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
All right, sticking with the Marvel Universe, Trent, the cosmic version of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we will probably see in the upcoming Miss Marvel movie is an organization called SWORD, S-W-O-R-D. Any guesses?
I didn't even know there was an intergalactic... Shield called Sword.
Well,
so
there you go.
Green Lantern Corps.
Right up to Disney by DC.
Nah, I got nothing.
Nothing?
I got nothing.
All right, so that is the Sentient World Observation and Response Department. Another one who they just wanted to make a word spelt out coolly. All right, Darren, this one is actually a character from the Marvel Universe. You familiar with MODOK at all?
Yeah, he was a Build-A-Figure in the toy business.
Yeah, giant floating head,
essentially. Yeah. So MODOK is actually an acronym. Now, there's a couple of different versions on this, depending on which sort of canon you read and stuff. So it was a bit of flexibility built in here.
Yeah, but not enough for me to get this. MODOK.
So he's a bad guy, right?
Yep.
So it's going to be something like aggressive.
Malicious or...
Merciless.
Malevolent.
Merciless, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We close?
Marry me, Mulder.
Not quite.
No. Not quite where I thought we were going with it.
Is he mischievous in any way?
No, but he gets around on his little
mobile.
Mobile. Yes,
there you go. Thank you. So that's M. No?
Nah.
All right, so he has been called mental
because
he does have like psychic powers as well. So it's been known as mental or mobile or mechanized, or so any one of those three. So I'm going to go with mobile organism designed only for killing.
Ah, there you go.
Because he just is a bit of
what
a...
What about when he gets hungry?
Well, he kills his food.
Can he... Is he allowed to eat? Is it only for killing?
It's a bit of a T-Rex thing, though. Right. His arms aren't short enough to, like, get the food into his mouth. Is
so
that
do
what
he doesn't need to eat?
No. I think he's a robot.
Right.
I don't know. Okay. He's just a giant floating head. All right. We're going to get back to the 80s. This should be a bit easier. Ben, we've got the famous series with David Hasselhoff and the coolest black car you will ever see. KITT. K-I-T-T. What does that stand for?
Killer Internal Transmission.
Two T's, and isn't it Knight Industries? Knight Industries K with a...
Oh, okay, Knight Industries...
What does he do? He's a bit like Mr. Ed.
Talking transmission.
You got
Tirana.
Is he a Toyota?
He's not.
He's a special type of vehicle.
He's a Pontiac or something.
Yeah. No, he's a Trans Am.
Trans Am.
Ah, there you go. Talking Trans Am.
Yeah, there you go. I was close.
Knight Industries.
Darren, do you know this one? Darren's looking very smiley.
No, Darren's trying to cast his mind back. He should know this one.
Well, Darren professes to love Knight Rider.
I was going
to
say.
He should know this one. But he just doesn't know.
It'd be embarrassing to be such a fan.
All right. I don't remember saying I love Knight Rider, not that I don't, but I don't remember saying that. I don't remember declaring that out loud.
I feel
loud,
like that's the general impression you've given.
But
that smile,
but yeah,
the smile on your face in
I
front
am
of
a kids. Fan,
okay.
But a fan with
a fan with limited knowledge. Early,
I'm a fan with early onset Alzheimer's tonight, so I'm going to have to plead ignorance.
Okay, all right. So you got the first bit right. It is Knight Industries, but it's Knight Industries 2000 TT.
Of course,
2000.
Because you know back then 2000 was such a space age.
Spelled in numbers though.
Yeah.
Like on KITT, it's spelled in numbers.
What do you mean?
K-I-2-2?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm not
really?
Used to it being spelled in words, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We've all learned something.
Yeah, with the zeros on the end.
Ah, 2-2-3. Okay,
yeah,
fair
so
enough.
That's why, can't...
All right, so sticking with 80s, Trent, we have, I believe it was some sort of invention from our friends at Jim Henson, an 80s TV show featuring a little puppet, Alf. A-L-F. You familiar with the show?
He's actually coming back for a
yeah.
He is coming back. Bring it on.
Yes, hide your cat.
Yeah, exactly. But that is actually an acronym. Can you tell me what ALF stands for?
Alien Who Likes Fuzzballs.
I know this one if Trent doesn't. I happen to know one. Who would have thought?
Go on, Dan.
Alien Life Form.
That's it.
There you go.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Probably the only one I'll know all night, but I knew it.
Well, you should get this one. He's sticking with 80s. It's been given a bit of a revival on Netflix of recent times. GLOW. G-L-O-W.
Oh, I know this one.
G-L-O-W.
Is he got two?
No,
it's Darren. This one's Darren's.
GLOW.
Yeah, I don't know it.
Is the G for girls?
No. Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Nah, man. Glamour Rock, y'all. Glamour Wrestling. And just on that, it's a fantastic series.
It
don't knock
wonderful.
It. It is really, really fun. Season 2 is as good as Season 1. Cool. It takes off just where it left off. And worth checking out if you're in between series of something else.
Yeah,
and Funko.
Definitely.
Funko doing figures.
Yeah. Yeah, no one else is doing it, so Funko grabbed the license and made a pop out of it.
That's why they're growing
it
since rapid rate.
That's right.
Yep.
Conquering the European market.
Yeah, so, that's right.
All right, last round here. Here we go, Ben. This one we've mentioned a few times on the show, but COPS. C-O-P-S.
No, this one's
Criminal Operator. Covert?
No.
It doesn't start with a K, so don't.
This one spells out correctly.
Yeah.
It's in the intro theme. So
yeah, I know. I used to watch it all the time. No, I'm drawing a blank. I got glamour glow, so
yeah,
I'm happy.
Well, I know this one. This is the Central Organization of Police Specialists.
Yes. You even said it in the voice. Well done, man. Well done.
And I love the fact Bulletproof, his name before he got... Because he starts off as a normal human, gets basically gunned down sort of RoboCop style and has to be turned into sort of an android.
Yeah.
And but his name before all this happened and he had the metal Bulletproof vest was... BP Vest.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, cool. Yeah, there's a toy line we need to spotlight in the future.
Yeah, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Trent. They often faced off against Inspector Gadget, run by the evil Dr. Claw, the villainous... villains, I suppose? MAD. M-A-D.
Yeah, I should know this one.
Thought you might, but... This is another one. Okay, the first word is, again, one of those really descriptive because they're the bad guys sort of thing. I think we even shouted it out as something else a bit earlier.
Maniacal?
No.
Mischievous?
Nope.
Nah. Is the D for division?
No.
Nah, I don't know it. Anyone else?
Anyone else? Nah. No. Malevolent Agency of Destruction.
Ah, that makes sense.
I thought it was pretty cool. And the very last one, Darren, this is very much your era. Look, they lost the war to the Betamax. Can you tell me what VHS stands for?
Video Home System.
Hey! Very good.
I heard one the other day. Scuba.
Scuba stands for...
Self-contained... Underwater breathing apparatus.
Yep.
Wow. I never knew that. I always just thought it was scuba gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just a name.
That comes from something. And the other one I just sort of found as a bit of an interesting one, G.I. Joe. Does anyone know anything about that? So the actual, according to the Hasbro lore, it stands for Global Integrated Joint Operation.
Not General Infantry.
Well, that's always what I thought. Right. That's why I found this one interesting. So, according to Hasbro, it's Global Integrated Joint Operating Entity, and that apparently shows up in like the recent G.I. Joe movies and stuff. But if you go back in real life, the actual term GI dates back to World War One, when a lot of the equipment issued to the U.S. soldiers was stamped with GI, indicating that it was made from galvanized iron.
Is that right?
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting. So, yeah.
Yo, Joe!
Yo, Joe!
That is really interesting. On that note, though, I must say, Trent, Ben, do what I'm doing. Make a mental note to make sure all the hard questions come Frank's way in the future.
That was a killer.
It was, wasn't it? Oh. I don't know about you two, but right after we finish this episode, I'm jumping on my face to ask Tom if he's got any questions regarding our social media and how we can improve, you know, our terms and that, so...
Instagram, we'll get
Instagram, my face,
Tom on my face.
Yeah. I'm gonna what's that other one? I'm gonna share this all over ICQ, so you guys better watch out.
Oh dear. All right, on that note, we will wrap this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and a special shout out to our Patreons, John Caulfield, aka Lux Toy Collector, Jose Gonzalez, Chris Wisdom, Brett G, and Joe Hayes. We will see you around the toy aisles.
And until next time, one and all, good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast. At Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. Or have your say and email us, toypowerpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.
We are a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. Check out all the awesome shows on this awesome network full of okay people. Want to learn more? Go to GiantSizeTeamUp.com, where you can find us and a whole lot more awesome shows. Well, they're not more awesome than us, but they're...